a few days ago, where he said that he was happy to be accountable to his maker for the Iraq war. Now, I can see why he would say that. There's an advantage to being accountable to God, and that is that God is not, on the whole, a protester, not a marcher, and not a voter. And so the Prime Minister of the country to be accountable to God means that the vast majority of the rest of us, unless we are that small minority who are God's representative on earth, are not going to be included among those people to whom the Prime Minister of the country is accountable. And one of the things, just one of the things, that the Stop the War Coalition still has to do is to bring Tony Blair and the government to account for the Iraq War. Yes. And there seems to be little doubt that people want that to happen. The New Labour spin doctors were absolutely convinced that they were going to get the Baghdad banks out of the local elections last week. But they didn't. They got the Baghdad backlash out of the elections last week because people in this country have not forgiven them for lying through their teeth on every single issue connected with this war. They said it was about weapons of mass destruction. There are no weapons of mass destruction. And even if now they find some weapons of mass destruction that don't have Langley, Virginia stamped on the bottom of them, the Iraqi state will have been the most remarkable state in human history, in that its country was invaded, its regime destroyed, and it did not use what weapons it had in order to defend itself. The British government, we know, would not behave in such a way. Would not behave in such a way if there were tanks on Westminster and Blackfriars Bridge, but would not behave in such a way even in an offensive war, because it is now the officially declared doctrine of the government of this country, enunciated by Jeff Hoon, to use nuclear weapons as a first strike weapon. This military machine was used against a country who the British government's own dossier told us, not the one cribbed from a 12-year-old postgraduate thesis in the United States, that the Iraqi state did not have a missile which could hit Baghdad, could hit John O'Groats indeed, if it were fired from Land's End. They simply did not have, and the course of the war proved it, the military machine to threaten effectively its near neighbours, never mind about the security of this country. And the second thing that we were told was that this was about the liberation of the Iraqi people. Well, we had one day where a few hundred Iraqis celebrated when Saddam Hussein's statue was pulled down, and we have had every day since where tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Iraqis have marched under placards which say, US, get out of Iraq. And the response has been on at least two occasions for the American army to gun down 12 or 13 of those protesters, unarmed protesters, in the streets. That is what this government means by liberation, but it is what we know to be an occupation, a colonial enterprise which we haven't seen for the last 50 or 60 years. And the second job of the Stop the War Coalition is to say, we want those troops out of Iraq, back here, and for the Iraqi people to have to stop fighting the British Army and the American Army in order to govern their own country. That's what we will be doing in the coming months. I hear Jay Garner, the former American general, former director of one of the firms that produces the Patriot missile system, ally of the Likud party in Israel. You know, if they sent the Washington think tank off for a year to come up with a figure more offensive to Iraqis and to the Arab world generally, they could not have hit on a better candidate than Jay Garner. And he made a speech a couple of weeks ago talking about supposed Iranian influence in Iraq. And he said, we will not tolerate, I quote verbatim, we will not tolerate any out-of-region or out-of-country influence on the future of Iraq. Now, I wonder which part of Saddam City Jay Garner was born in. He seems not to have noticed that he is not an Iraqi, not an Arab, that he is standing at the head of the biggest out-of-region influence in the Arab world for a generation. It is this kind of arrogance, it is this kind of blinkered inability to acknowledge what the rest of the world sees as so obvious, that will damn this project in the end. You see it in every word they utter. When Tony Blair says that the revenue from the Iraqi oil industry will be held in trust for the Iraqi people. Think about that phrase, held in trust. This is something that you do for minors, for people who are not yet adults, for people who are not capable of managing their own affairs. This is the Victorian colonial mentality, revived by the new Labour government in the beginning of the 21st century, and it is this that the Stop the War Coalition was called into being to combat 1 week after 9/11, through the Afghan War, through this Iraq War. And it will be there to end the occupation of Iraq and to stop the rampage of American imperialism through Iran and Syria or North Korea or wherever else they think they can take the war on terror. Of course, nuclear weapons are a threat. North Iraq possesses them. And North Korea possesses them. And we know... I don't know quite what would have happened if the Kurds had had nuclear weapons. There we are. But we know now when we read the front page of The Guardian where North Korea is getting its nuclear capacity from. It got it from Donald Rumsfeld. Now, you really can't make this stuff up. The current American administration makes Dr. Strangelove look like an understated account of the workings of the Pentagon and the White House. These people have used the moral authority that they think they got from the attack on the World Trade Center on 9/11, and they are wrecking a disaster throughout our world. And the same people, the very same corporations that do it to us are doing it to the Iraqi people now. Bechtel is in charge of the reconstruction of Iraq. This is the company that is rebuilding the West Coast main line. This is the company that's privatising the London Tube. Now, I've travelled up here a few times on the West Coast Main Line, and I would say the success of that project does not bode well for the happy reconstruction of Iraq. These people are pirates. They are barbarians. They are people who know no other law than the rule of profit. They are people who know no other way of winning an argument but by bombing their opponents into submission. These are people who, when they lose an argument, when they lose an argument with the anti-war movement, they employ the millionaire press to slander and abuse the people who won the argument with the British people. You know, the son called George Galloway here a traitor. Well, I say you can choose your traitor. You can choose George Galloway, or you can choose Claire Short. And now it seems it's too much to be able to stand up in public and say that you oppose a war that is illegal. That is too much for the leader of the Labour Party to stomach. I tell you, it's not about that. What they're doing now is about one simple thing. We came much nearer than we ever knew at the time to stopping this war and breaking this government. We now know that Blair issued the orders for contingency plans to be drawn up to bring the troops home. We now know, because of his own stomach-churning interview with The Sun, that in a parody of a Victorian family Christmas card, he gathered his family around the fire to tell them that he might lose his job. Now that is what they cannot forgive us for doing. And the reason they cannot forgive us for it is because things are going so badly for them in Iraq that they know that we are still here, can still fill these rooms in that country. That they cannot be allowed to lie, to cheat, to slander, to libel, to take a country to war and kill thousands of innocent people, to destroy its infrastructure, to allow the profiteers to take it over without being held to account. And that is exactly what we intend to do. The Stop the War Coalition is not like most single issue campaigns that we have been involved in. If we were to search for a historical parallel, it would be better to look back to the American Civil Rights Movement of the 1960s. Of course, that movement united behind a simple, single idea. But in the range of activities that it organised, in the length of time that it sustained itself, in the profound effect that it had on American society, it was much, much more than a single issue movement. It was about justice. It was about democracy. It was about the ordinary people of the society. The ordinary people who produce the wealth in society. Saying how their society will be ruled. Who will have the power to declare war or to build a peace. Whether our resources will be squandered on weapons of mass destruction or used to build schools and hospitals and pay our firefighters. That is what this movement is about. It is about understanding that the one thing that no government can stand against is a radicalised, politicized, active movement of ordinary working people. They now have the most frightening prospect that any government bent on profit and military power can possibly face. They face a population that have seen through the lies, that have taken events into their own hands, who will never again believe that they simply have to take what is handed out to them by the politicians. That is the real and lasting achievement of the anti-war movement, and that is the best hope that the people of this country now have.